I am honored to be joined with Dr. Nang Ang. Dr. Nang Ang is a prominent Burmese democracy leader in exile. I have Dr. Nang Ang on the phone with me from Ottawa. Hi, Dr. Ang. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. A report by the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in Burma suggests that the election process for the upcoming November 7th, 2010 elections in Burma has been deeply flawed, disappointing, and pre-scripted. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the special reporter from the Secretary General Office exactly mentioned the true nature of the election. If it is for the one democracy, the election is part of the democracy process. But in Burma, this election is not for the democracy, it is not democratic, and it is not aiming for the democratic transition. This election is designed by the military regime to entrench their power by their unilaterally drafted constitution and engineering the electoral process to make a favor for their army-backed party to win in the election.
Mm-hmm. So the Burmese military government is holding the elections, and they are literally taking control over it all. Can you give examples as to how this is happening?
Yeah.
Like the absence of international monitoring and absence of media freedom and over 2,200 political prisoners and the other human rights violations. Can you talk about those things?
Yeah. So I would like to explain the background of this election process briefly. So in 1990, after the democratic uprising in 1988, there was the first democratic election in Burma where the National League for Democracy, which is led by Dr. Aung San Suu Kyi, had a landslide victory. So the military regime at the time, they don't want to honor the election results, which democratic opposition win the majority. So in order to refuse the election result, the military regime insisted by making the National Convention, which is drafting the current constitution that military regime is going to ratify with this election. So this constitution is unilaterally drafted by the army. And there are some clauses like the 25% of the parliamentary seats at the national level and the regional level are reserved for the army candidates. And three ministerial portfolios will be assigned to the army, and army can nominate the vice president. And again, also, that constitution says all of the activities done by the military regime in 22 years cannot be tried in any court. Again, also, that constitution says the army personnel cannot be tried by any civilian judiciary process. So, that's the constitution drafted by the military regime. And again, in 1993, same time, the military regime also formed the organization called Union and Solidarity Development Association, which is now transformed into Union and Solidarity Development Party, which is headed by the regime leaders currently resigning from the army post to lead that organization. And that same organization repeatedly attacked the democratic opposition in last 19 years, and the last time that our leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, was arrested because of the brutal attack by the organization. So what we are trying to say is, before this 2010 election, the military regime has been planned to entrench the power by unilaterally drafting the constitution, preparing this organization to transform into the body of power, to entrench, to gain more parliamentary seats reserved for the civilians. So that's the plan, which is called as roadmap to the disciplined democracy by the military regime. Again, also during this pre-election period after 2008 referendum, which military regime claimed that 92.48% adopted and voted for this constitution. Now, during this electoral process, the military regime manipulated the electoral law and outbarring the political prisoners and the other political bodies to participate in this constitution, despite the call of those democratic opposition on the constitutional review for the inclusive election. And this has been refused and this has been denied, and despite of the repeated call, these opposition forces faced the serious oppression by the government and army and its allied forces. So during the campaign period, some political parties are trying to contest in this election with the minimum hope that they can raise their voice through the parliament. They are allowed to form the political party in 2 months, and they are allowed to find the candidates within 15 days. And within these 15 days, those are all of the political parties are not only to make the registration process, but also to find the candidates to fill in the contest and raise the fund for the campaign. While the military regime has prepared in the last 70 years unilaterally for this election. Also, again, that even though those political parties are given some amount of freedom to campaign, but there are a lot of intimidation by the army and then the army regime-backed party. So in a lot of the cases that the army forced the civilians and then the government officials to be a member of the army-backed party, and that the party membership will be used as the advance vote and rigged vote in the coming election. So they are targeting about the 15 to 16 millions of their forced members' vote to make the fraud in the coming election. Again, also, they are barring more than 3,000 villages across the country not to participate in the election because they are adjacent to the ceasefire ethnic groups who refuse to participate in this election. That affects more than 1.5 million eligible voters. Also, the migrant workers who are working in the neighboring country, which is about more than 3 million Burmese people, are not accessible to the polling station. So, and again also, the government-backed party are using all of the resources of government and backed by party, manipulating the whole electoral process in their favor. So that's why we are saying that this election engineered by the military regimes are not designed to make a democratic change in Burma, not even for the democratic transition in Burma. That election will not bring any hope for the change. So we are telling the international community is that that election is not part of the normal democracy that we experienced in the war. So this election is to legitimize the military power. And that means that we are, Burmese people will continue to suffer what we have been suffering in the last 22 years. And we are going to suffer more. And we are saying that this election will also bring more human rights violation against the democratic opposition. And there's also the potential of resumption of the civil war in the near future because 5 major ethnic ceasefire groups refused to participate in the election and military regime is preparing the military offensive against them. And that will affect more than 1.5 million civilians in that area. Those will become an internally displaced person, refugees, and more human rights violence. The violation will be happen. and women and children will be most severely affected, as we experienced in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. You gave a little flashback of the 1990 scenario where the main opposition party, the National League for Democracy, won with a landslide, and the junta-backed party, the Union Solidarity and Development Party, captured only 10 seats, and the junta 2 decades ago refused to honor the democratically elected winners. What about the idea that this election this weekend, do you think that it's just to have international appeal? They're holding it for a strategy to make it seem like they're heading towards democracy?
In 1990 election, that is just after the 1988 uprising, even though there are a lot of the manipulation by the army in favor of their big National Unity Party, but a lot of people are united in a way, and they have a lot of the opportunity by using the momentum of the 1988 uprisings. And most importantly, at the time, that the head of the military regime, General Son Mao, has some confusion that their army will go back to barrack after the election. And the current generation of the military leader think that the back party, National Unity Party, will have some majority. So there was some confusion in the army. But the election result is overwhelmingly the control by the Democratic opposition. So that makes the fears in the army general, then that make the insecurity of the army general who make a military coup in 1988. So that's what they have been trying and prepare in last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are trying to say is this election is what the military regime is preparing for last 19 years to secure their power, to legitimize their power. And there is no intention for the democratic transition. If they truly, sincerely wish for the democratic transition, they should have given more freer and fair, inclusive process for the democratic opposition for the 75% of the seat reserved for civilians.
In 2003, these elections were announced to the world, and it was shortly after the world was outraged after hearing the news of the regime-sponsored attempt to assassinate Aung San Suu Kyi.
Yes.
Do you think that was also part of the reason why they announced having an election in the future, just solely to appease global opinion, even though we all reasonably feel that the winners will be the corrupt and brutal elite who rule the country right now, so the dictatorship will continue?
Mm-hmm. When they announced the roadmap in 2004 and they changed the military regime name from the State Law and Order Restoration Council to the State Peace and Development Council, because there is some underlying the factors involved in this situation. Before that happened in 2004, where the intelligence chief Kenyo became a prime minister, before that, this military intelligence chief has been engaged in dialogue with Aung San Suu Kyi for some time, and they are about to reach the agreement for the transition. And this intelligence chief also have been actively engaged with the ceasefire group to include them in the national reconciliation process. But the hardliner and the radicals in the army are aware of those developments, and they use this paramilitary organization, USDA, to attack Aung San Suu Kyi convoy. So with a compromise within the army and the intelligence chief were compromise to transform the previous military regime into the new regime and given him as the prime minister. And at the time, they announced the roadmap. So after 2004, and then the Kenyan and whole military intelligence are removed from their posts, and there was a silent coup against the Kenyan and military intelligence. So when they are trying to consolidate the differences within the army in compromising the roadmap, why the Don San Suu Kyi was put under house arrest for last time, and the military, the intelligence chief may be thought that he will gain some control because he becomes a prime minister. But actually, he was lately purged, and whole military intelligence is sick and dissolved. So since that time, the military supremo, General Tan Shui, consolidate his power and more and more. So that's why from 2003, 2004 to 2010 is all of the dissident elements within the army, or probably reform-minded elements in the armies, are removed. So, of course, this current military regime is trying to portray that this election is about the democratic transition, and saying that they are only taking 25% of the seats. Actually, in the ground, in the constitution, in practice, it is not. So they are not only taking the 25% of the seats, but also they are trying to gain the 75% of the seats in the parliament, as well as the 25% reserved for the army. Again, also they are also trying to undermine and marginalize the democratic opposition, like NLD and Aung San Suu Kyi. And also the border camp prisoners, which are about 2,200, stayed in prisons. So if there is a way for the democratic transition and inclusive process, and they should have released the Borger prisoners, and they should have responded to the call by the democratic opposition for the constitutional review dialogue.
Mm-hmm. The military regime in Burma is scheduled to free Aung San Suu Kyi from house arrest on November 13th. How likely is it that the regime will follow through with this?
I believe that the Don San Suu Kyi will not be released on November 13, which is the due time to complete her sentence according to the law of the military regime. So, but at the same time, we have to understand that there are the conditions set for the early and possible release of her, because the head of the military regime said that because of his understanding and his sympathy towards her, the sentence is reduced from the three year to 18 months. So it's the kind of the amnesty given to her if she behaves well.
I was wondering if you can give examples of human rights violations that have been witnessed firsthand. I just wanted to have people have a glimpse of it.
Yes, less 3 months ago, and two youths in the town, 100 kilometers away from the former capital Rangoon, were shot dead by the army on the street. The problem is there is just a simple dispute between the local youth and then the army captains after the drink at the restaurant. So when those students came back to their home, and that captain called the troops and walk along the street and then search for those students and bring them out and shot them on the street. That's what exactly shows the culture and the mindset of the army people. It is saying that they can do whatever they want if someone against them, and no one can try against them. So the whole mindset of the militarism, and then the practice and attitude and behavior down to the lower rank level, this is the kind of militarism, and then the abuse of the military power, and that makes the more human rights violation. In Eastern Bora, in remote area where they engaged the military offensive, whenever they see the ethnic citizens, they are being ordered that those peoples are connected to the ethnic insurgency, and they have a right to kill those citizens. So one, particularly one family, was shot dead inside without giving no reasons. And you can be arrested in everywhere because you don't report that you travel from that area and you are staying in that area for one night. And you can be arrested for your involvement in the political movement by accusing different things.
Mm. What are barriers to successful international solidarity actions by the West especially?
I think that the key players, the key countries like US, Canada, EU, also try to make the comprehensive strategy with the thorough analysis that can convince China and ASEAN to influence the decision of the military regimes. So they need to work out on the how common goals and the approach by the international community to convince and pressure the military regime to make some reform towards the democratic transition.
How has the United States neglected its claimed support for a United Nations inquiry into the regime's crimes against humanity, namely the military's depredations against ethnic minorities?
Yes, the Human Rights Council report and successive resolution made by the United Nations General Assembly indicated that there are serious human rights violations and there are no improvement in the human rights situation in Burma. And the most worsening thing is that there are no judiciary process to make the people accountable for the crimes they committed. So the subsequent special reporters made the very specific report and recommended at least two times to have a UN-led inquiry. But there has been a gaining momentum, I would say. So like the US and UK and Australia and France and some other European countries are supporting the Commission of Inquiry by UN.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is that there is a divided opinion even among the EU,
mm-hmm.
and then there is a tendency of the strong rejection by the China, Russia, and India. So what I would say is that the international has the divided opinion how to make the democratic change in Burma. There has been arguing whether sanction has been useful, whether engagement has been useful. So also that the what I would like to call the international community as well as the on this situation, the situation is that the international community needs to have a more the assertive and aggressive action in terms of engaging Burma with the kind of benchmark if they want to receive the cooperation from the international community. At the same time, we want the international community to work collectively to convince and using stick and carrot approach to convince the military regime for the democratic reform in Burma. So I think that there is a need of the political will by the international community,
mm-hmm.
and more practical measures to make it happen.
I was reading that there are expected calls after election for a lifting of economic sanctions, mm-hmm. and a welcoming of the so-called new government into government by companies eager to invest in Burma and nations eager for influence there. Which countries are these?
Basically, the Canada and U.S. and then EU. There are the varying degrees of the sanction. Mostly, that is started from the general trade sanctions and trade embargoes and the arms embargo, bilateral arms embargo, visa sanctions and economic sanctions.
And when we were talking about decisions being made at the United Nations levels, what are the reasons behind the delegates of Thailand, China, India, and Burma itself for denouncing the UN report claiming it was one-sided and biased and warning that it would only be destructive to the post-election climate?
There has been the international venues which documented the political, economic, and social situation in Burma, like Human Rights Council and the United Nations General Assembly. But those are not binding solutions. So that the action can be taken either by, if we want to have the action taken by UN, the only body that can authorize those kind of action is Security Council. So Security Council, and where the China and Russia always use their veto power to vote against those call and action. So they are providing the diplomatic immunity for military regime because of their own economic and national interests. So even though we are trying to get the consensus by using the international body like United Nations, but there has always been the conflict of interest and conflict of the power in the United Nations. And it's not only for Burma in the, a lot of the problems that the affect to the international community. So in a lot of the situation is that the international community using the United Nations venue is in action, and the opinion is always divided. So this is the traditional and usual phenomenon and barriers that we always face at the United Nations when we think about the collective and the decision by the international community. But again, also in the region, that China is trying to have more power in the region, and they try to have their role in the international community. So if you look at the analyze the China's movement, and China is aggressively inserting the power in the international community. So they have been increasing at least 300% of the overseas development assistance to the different the all over the world. They are now lately very aggressive in the land dispute and sea dispute in the Asia Pacific region. And they've been very actively working on the Middle East issue. So the China is also trying to take want to have their big share of the international power relationship. And again, also in the region that the ASEAN itself not is the democratic community. It is formed as the economic the association. So about half of the country in ASEAN can be said as the democracies. So those international barriers and the regional barriers and then economic interests are the main problems when we talk about the collective international action to make a democratic change in Burma.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point out that while conversations continue in press rooms and conference halls, the situation on the ground in Burma becomes more and more intolerable for those living there. And I wanted to ask, who in the international community can Burma trust to actually help the people of Burma to deter what we can all see as an imminent catastrophe unfurling in Burma? And what can Canadians do, or Americans and Canadian states, because they have the power to make things better, so what can we do to make inroads? Because it's now that the people are suffering, and it's only getting worse.
Yeah. We Burmese people know ourselves that it is our struggle, it is our cause, it is our future. So the main responsibility lies with us. That's why we have been trying ourselves to make our resistance and struggle against the military regime. But at the same time, we can be helped practically. So what we are saying is that the democratic opposition inside Burma needs a lot of the meaningful support to continue our struggle by the international community. So like Canada, US, and EU can help us to make this the people power movement by the Burmese people itself to defy and to raise our voice and to resist the oppression and to claim our rights. But at the same time, we also think that the international community can also should do the multiple pressure point and using the different venues. So if something happened in Burma, like in Nargis cyclone or the 2007 Saffron Revolution, the international intervention is not always ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the international community also started to look at the using the multilateral approach. So while they are continuously and having the strategic ally with the democratic opposition, working with them to make their people pressure happen, but also using the political capital for the necessary and timely intervention. So for that necessary and timely intervention, they have to have a mechanism of engagement to the different actors like China, ASEAN, and EU, and United Nations, different venues. So, and we cannot hope the abrupt decision by the United Nations, the Security Council, but having the resolution at the UN General Assembly level can provide the such a context and pretext for the such action. And also having the shadow diplomatic engagement among the key players to develop the common vision and to develop the common strategy, to develop the timely intervention, and to convince each other. And we don't see that kind of active diplomatic intervention by the international community. Of course, Burma is a small country. Burma is not something that makes World War III. But Burma is a very unique case. And we are the only few countries in Asia that which we still have a military dictatorship. So Burma doesn't need civil war. Burma can be changed peacefully with the fully support and the active intervention by the international community.
Dr. Nang Ung is a prominent Burmese democracy leader in exile who is currently visiting Ottawa. Thank you so much.
Yep. Welcome.